This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Oh, Manafort, Donald Trump's former campaign chairman, is with us. He replaced fired campaign manager Corey Lewandowski and guided the campaign through the Republican convention. Manafort then resigned 2 months after taking over amid questions about his alleged business ties in Russia and Ukraine. Paul Manafort, welcome.
Thank you.
What role are you playing in this transition?
Oh, I'm not active in the transition, but I'm watching and...
Well, are you talking to the president-elect is the question.
I'm watching the transition. I'm not active, and I don't want to really talk about who I'm speaking to, but I'm aware of what's going on.
Can you tell us, with respect to Secretary of State, Major Garrett is hearing that Exxon CEO Ray Tillerson is getting a very serious look.
Again, Mr. Trump will speak to that. I'm not really going to talk about the type of people he's talking to. He's talking to a broad range of people. I think the important thing when you look at the transition is that Mr. Trump is taking a very active role in the transition process. He's not just interviewing the final candidates, as some president-elects have done. And he's looking at people as to their qualifications for government, not necessarily just for one position or another. And I think that over the course of the transition, not just the cabinet members, but the sub-cabinet members and the agency heads as well are people that he'll speak to, because he thinks that the president-elect, or the president, should be actively involved in the government. And he said he'd be an active president. He said he's going to bring change. And what you're seeing in the transition process is the kind of leadership he'll bring to the presidency and that he said he would bring.
Can we go back to Mitt Romney for a second to follow up on Charlie's question? There are reports that the Trump team is divided about Mitt Romney. Some say that, you know, they don't think it's a good choice. Others say yes. Where do you fall on that, Paul Manafort? What advice have you given him?
Well,
you say you have conversations. What do you say?
No, basically the point, I think, that the Romney consideration is that Donald Trump is looking at putting together the strongest team for the country and the strongest team that will be part of this administration. People who are Republicans, people who are Democrats, people who have supported him, people who haven't supported him.
But the question was, how do you feel about Mitt Romney being Secretary of State? You clearly have Donald Trump's ear. You two still speak on a regular basis.
Well, I will support whatever, obviously, the president decides he's going to do. I mean, is Romney qualified to be Secretary of State? Yes, he's qualified to be Secretary of State. The key is whether he and President Trump can see eye to eye on the agenda that the Secretary of State will have to lead over the course of the next 4 years.
So if he's qualified, is it a question then of loyalty?
No, it's a question of who Donald Trump wants in that position. I mean, the fact that they've engaged and are starting to build a relationship back to what was a good relationship in the past is a positive thing. And whether Mr. Romney is a part of the government or not, I think they'll have a relationship going forward.
There's a report this morning in New York Magazine by reporter Gabe Sherman that describes the scene inside Trump Tower is like Game of Thrones-esque.
I've also heard House of Cards-esque, that there's concern about betrayal among the troops.
Who is in charge, Steve Bannon or Reince Priebus?
Donald Trump. No question, Donald Trump is in charge. People have their respective roles. I mean, transitions are by definition a work in progress. I mean, by the time it gets figured out, the inauguration happens. This has actually been, of all the transitions I've witnessed over the last 40 years, this has actually been a very aggressive, positive event. I mean, there's always people jockeying for position in a system, whether it's a campaign, a transition, or an administration. But what's happening here is you're seeing a process executed. The biggest difference, I think, from this transition is that the emphasis is on bringing change to the government.
Okay, but let's talk about that. Who it was that elected Donald Trump? Right. A lot of people feeling economic pain. And some are raising the question, can all those billionaires have a true understanding of those people who supported and the things that they care about?
Well, first of all, Donald Trump has an understanding of it. I mean, he clearly 2 years ago had understood the American people. He was very consistent throughout his whole campaign. And to the surprise of many, but not to Donald Trump, the American people responded to the message. His presidency and what you've seen in this transition process is focusing on that exact thing, bringing change. The people who he has said he's going to nominate for these cabinet and agency positions are all consistent with the philosophy that he talked about in the campaign. And as President Obama said in 2009, yes, elections have consequences, and I, Obama, won. Well, yes, elections have consequences.
Okay, let me have two questions. One, what happened to you? You were part of the campaign. You were the guy, and then you were gone.
Well, I mean, I became a block to his ability to communicate his message. I didn't think it was fair. I mean, the allegations were not true. But the reality is I became a block, and my goal was to get Donald Trump elected.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, hello, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. We need you to, you know, do the usual thing that you do on Facebook. Also, you can follow us at BMartinezLive. Wayne Allen Root is with us. Good to be talking to him, as always, an American politician, entrepreneur, TV and radio personality, author, a TV producer, and political commentator. Wayne, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing terrific. I'm real excited and energized about America's future. I got to say that your book, Angry White Male, is probably served as the hidden manifesto for the Donald Trump campaign, because he definitely got what it was that you were talking about.
Yeah, you know, I was very honored. The day after the election, I got called by the International Association of Political Consultants, IAPC, and they're people who fly in from all over the world. They run presidential campaigns. They run prime minister campaigns. These are the Karl Roves of the world, and they asked me to be the speaker to explain how I knew what was going to happen. Nobody else knew Trump was going to win, they said. You knew it. How did you know it? And you laid out the exact plan, and you said it was going to be Brexit. And, you know, if you look at Angry White Male, my book, I'll tell you what, it's in there. Word for word, I wrote it last spring, and it's the entire Donald Trump game plan, that you could expand the tent without necessarily getting black or Hispanic voters. You could expand the tent just by getting more white voters. Mm-hmm. I want to get black and Hispanic voters for the GOP. Trust me. Right. I'd like to fight for it for the next 4 years, and I think it could be done. But in the meantime, in the short term, I argued that Donald Trump could simply get 4 to 6 million new working class white voters, primarily in the Midwest, in places like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Iowa and Ohio, and win this election. And most importantly, angry white males. And of course, he won that demographic. I think the number is by 56 points, if I remember correctly. It's the most absurd number in the history of politics. Almost every white male in America voted for Donald Trump. So I did hit the nail on the head, and I felt it. I saw the anger, and I knew it because I'm one of them.
Yes.
And I feel like the entire country is falling apart. Everything's going wrong. Every decision Obama made was against me and the things I believe in. You know, the flag, the Constitution. Every time I see Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback for the 49ers, on his knee for the national anthem, I just get angry and I say, this isn't my country anymore. And I know there's millions just like me. That's why the NFL ratings are down. And that's why Donald Trump is president. So I think it all worked out pretty good. I'm feeling good. I feel like we finally have people in place who understand the enemy is radical Islam, who understand you could say the two words, you know, Islamic and terrorist, the same sentence, who understand you got to protect the American people and you got to kill the enemy, not worry about the sensitivity and offending the enemy. I think it's all turned around. I think we're going to be okay, Bill.
Well, Wayne, I'm as optimistic as you, and my dad will tell you, he would have told you if he was still alive, that I'm the most eternal optimist that he ever met. But more so, it's energized, and this energizing, I sense going from coast to coast in my travels, talking to aspiring business people, people that wanted to start a business and have held back, and they feel like they've been handcuffed, and suddenly they've been liberated, and you know, we're looking to Donald Trump to make sure those anklets and those handcuffs are finally removed, to where these ideas can explode and people can dream big dreams again.
Yeah, you know, there's so many things I want Donald to do, and we all know it just can't all happen. It's not like you snap your finger, no. You become president, you can just make everything happen exactly as you promised during the campaign. But I feel pretty good that certain, you know, kind of basic ideas are going to happen. There's going to be a wall. You know, there might be parts of it you'd call a fence instead of a wall, but there's going to be a more extensive border between us and Mexico, which I think is so important. There's going to be security at the border. There's going to be, I think, an end to sanctuary cities. I really do believe Donald Trump will defund them, bring them to their knees, and any mayor who continues to disobey not only will cut off all funding for his city, but I think he should be put in prison. Mm-hmm. Is that going to happen? I don't know. We'll find out. But I do think Donald will break the back of sanctuary cities, which is crazy. I do think that people in this country who are here legally, who are Hispanic or any other race for that matter, I love you. Right. I'm just talking about illegals. This has nothing to do with people legally here as immigrants. We love legal immigrants, and I want people to understand that. I just think there's a rule of law, and you just can't allow people to just come here illegally and say there is no penalty, there is no punishment. As a matter of fact, there's a reward. It makes no sense the way this country has been running for the last 8 years and somewhat for the last 50 years.
Right.
So I think we're going to fight the debt. I think we're going to give massive tax cuts to people who earn the money in the first place. I think we're going to kill Obamacare, at least most of it. We'll gut it. I think we'll kill a lot of the climate change legislation. That's total BS, because I've seen the studies that prove we're entering a period of global cooling, not warming.
Yes, right.
It's all nonsense.
Yeah.
And it's all meant to take over our lives and tax us to death and give government the right to take over everything we do and every decision we make. So I feel like we're in the right place, and I think there will be, you know, there might not be a ban against Muslims coming into America. It's probably good that there isn't, but there will be extreme vetting, so we'll be very careful who comes into the United States. Everything I just said is pretty common sense and reasonable, and I think we have a good chance most or all of it is actually going to happen in some form or another.
Well, unless we forget, look what happened in Ohio State, Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
You know, here it is.
Well, look, here's how you sum up liberals, Bill. Moments after it happened, I took a big chance. You get in trouble for this stuff. I have no reason to do it. I shouldn't do it, but I'm like Donald. I just tell the truth. Mm. I didn't say I know it's a Muslim terrorist attack, but I said it sure feels like one to me. It's probably ISIS or ISIS-inspired. You know, when you pull a fire alarm, people come out, right. And the car pulls up, starts slashing at people. That's a lone wolf, ISIS-inspired terrorist attack. Mm. And it was very clear to me that happened, and I wrote that. And you don't have to do that. It's scary to do that because you could ruin your career. Well, so many liberal trolls came out of nowhere to make fun of me and say what an idiot I was and how maybe Wayne Root should contact the FBI because he knows more than the police know at this point. How does he know it's a Muslim terrorist attack? Well, common sense told me it was. And sure enough, within hours it came out it was a Somali refugee. At that point, if you asked Obama under oath, he'd still say it was the Muslim terrorist attack. He'd say it was workplace violence. You have no right to jump to a conclusion. That's what I mean about this country being off the rails. How can you look at a Muslim committing a terrorist act and then go, well, you can't jump to the conclusion it had anything to do with his religion. Maybe it was workplace. Maybe he's mentally ill. Really? I guess there must be an epidemic of mentally ill Muslims across the entire Western civilization, because every terror attack in Europe, they do the same thing. They claim it's workplace violence or it's mental illness. But they all happen to have the same thing in common. They're Muslim. And before they kill people, they scream, Allah Akbar. Am I missing something?
Right.
So now we've got Donald Trump. And he thinks the same way I do, and everyone he's appointed thinks like me, and they all understand the enemy is radical Islam. Boy, we have a new dawn in America. Thank God.
Yes, amen to that, Wayne. I'll tell you, and Israel looks at what we do in terms of our policies in dealing with this imminent threat. It's not existential. It is imminent. It is happening in 50 states. We've got over 1,000 open investigations by the FBI looking into radical Islam, and it is obvious. It looks like a duck and talk. talks like a duck, but we want to say something else. And as Trevor Loudon has pointed out in his movie, The Enemies Within, it's because our government is inundated with Muslim sympathizers and believers and communists, card-carrying, Wayne. And this is what I look for Donald Trump to do, and that is in draining the swamp to get them out the door as well. We've got more with Wayne Allen Root right after this. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. fortressclothing.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You gotta shake, shake, shake. Like you shake, shake, shake. Brand new look so good on you. Shake like you've been shaked. Come on, shake.
Join us online at Bill Martinez.
VenusLive.com.
He came to you.
Back with you. Our conversation continues with Wayne Allyn Root here on Bill Martinez, author of the book Angry White Male, which I said before and many times, this was actually the manifesto for one Donald Trump. And you know, you point out, Wayne, about the angry white male, and the fact was known, I can tell you, in a lot of Hispanic communities, there were people, Hispanics, saying, look, it's not fair. It's not fair. I brought my family here legally. I'm working hard, and I'm getting, kind of low-bridged here by illegals that are taking my job away and making it harder on my family. They didn't want to have those open conversations because, you know, they would be chastised within their own community. But when it went to casting their vote, who did they vote for? They voted for the guy they knew would level the playing field and make immigration operate correctly again in this country. It's going to be a battle. There's no doubt about it, because for decades now, we've ignored it. We've abused the laws. We've ignored the laws. And now we're going to have to pay the price to right the ship, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think, the Hispanic vote for Donald Trump was better than it was for Mitt Romney. That's an amazing development. I mean, it really is.
Yes.
And I'm very proud of that fact. I'm a little disgusted that I am a Jew, and the Jewish vote was lower for Donald Trump than the Hispanic vote was. That's insanity.
Yes.
I mean, that really is insanity, and I feel bad that my people, you know, look, I love the Jewish people. I've always loved the Jewish people. There's so many attributes of the Jewish people that should be emulated by people all over this country and all over this world. They're an amazing race of people, and the success they've achieved is amazing. I'm so proud of it. But when it comes to politics, I'm sorry, there's something wrong.
There's a huge disconnect. How do you reconcile the platform of the Democratic Party with the Jewish lifestyle? It doesn't coincide.
Listen, I wrote a commentary about a week ago. Did we just elect our first Jewish president?
Yes, I saw
Donald
that.
Trump.
Yes.
And it got a lot of press, and it got a lot of controversy. And all the people who sent me notes, 90% of what I got was, thank you, Wayne. God bless you. You're wonderful. Mm-hmm. That was what a great speech. And those came from mostly Christians saying how much they loved the article. But boy, did I get hate from liberal Jews. Amazing. And the hate wasn't just that they hate Donald Trump. The hate was, how dare you write an article that brings up all the stereotypes that make people hate Jews, Wayne Root. How could you do that? Now, just to paraphrase the article, basically what I said was, I grew up a New York Jewish kid. I know the Jews are smart. I know we're educated. We stress education. I know we love our families with incredible passion, families, everything. I know we're the most relentless people on earth because we survived so many attempts to kill us and snuff us out and gas us and enslave us. And I know we have the most amazing chutzpah of any group in the world, because the word chutzpah was literally invented by Jews. It's a Yiddish word.
Yes.
And it means gall or audacity. And I said, who has more audacity than Donald Trump? He actually believed he should be president of the United States without ever getting elected to anything in his life. And I said, he add it all up, and this guy is basically Jewish. He's the most relentless, the chutzpah, the family.
Yes.
He loves his kids so much. He's certainly educated. His kids are all Ivy League graduates. So I made kind of a tongue-in-cheek article that I think Donald Trump's Jewish.
Mm.
And the Jewish people, instead of going, thank you, Wade, for complimenting us, said, basically, the average liberal Jew said, oh, my God, you brought up every stereotype that makes people hate us. What a horrible person you are. And I just sat there going, wow, liberals, it's not even a Jewish thing. Liberal Jews don't even want to be complimented. They're ashamed of their own success because they believe in the religion of liberalism, not the religion of Judaism. Because in liberalism, everyone's equal. No one could be better than anyone else. So a Jew has to be embarrassed if anyone calls them better or good or says nice things about them. Isn't that sad?
That is really sad. You know, and to add emphasis to your storyline on Donald Trump being the first Jewish president, who's his daughter married to? And how?
Well, not his daughter. Now, see, here's the little known fact.
Yes,
his daughter is married to an Orthodox Jew and converted to Orthodox Judaism, which is far more religious than I will ever be in my lifetime, trust me. But that means Donald's the first president in the history of America with Orthodox Jewish grandchildren.
Yes, right.
And people don't know that Donald's two sons, Eric and Donald Jr., are both married to Jews.
Right, exactly.
Both those gorgeous blondes are Jewish girls.
Mm-hmm.
So Donald's got five kids when you count Barron and his gal with Marla Maples.
Tiffany.
But his three original children are all married to Jewish spouses.
Yeah.
And so I, might, you know, when you look at that and you go, you know, he just might be the first Jewish president. It's tongue-in-cheek and it's
yes.
funny, but
yeah.
it's kind of true, just like it was kind of true that Bill Clinton was the first black president. I don't remember black people being angry that someone would say that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think any black person said, oh, my God, you've insulted us by saying Bill Clinton's the first black president. I would think Hispanic people would be thrilled, Bill, if I made an analogy and said, you know, we've just elected our first Hispanic president and listed all the best traits of the Hispanic people and said, look, he's Hispanic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a compliment.
Without a doubt.
But the Jewish people didn't like that,
yeah.
whereas the Christian people said, Wayne, thank you so much. What a beautiful article you wrote.
Yeah.
I just find it kind of strange. That's
well, and speaking of people of faith, Wayne, they came out in record numbers. They voted for Donald Trump. Who would have thought? People didn't think this was possible, but they came out. Catholics, born-agains, evangelicals came out in record numbers and made a big difference in this election.
Yes. Oh, just unbelievable numbers for Catholics and Protestants, evangelicals. Let's put it this way. More evangelicals, percentage-wise, voted for Trump than Ronald Reagan. So, I mean, it was just a monstrous win. He went after the very groups I said he'd go after. He went after the groups I identified because I was his opening speaker at six events in Las
exactly,
Vegas all
right.
six times.
Right.
And all six times, the very first time was December, Bill, and I went out in the crowd after my speech, and I got to know people, and I was like, wow, these are people that you never see at a Republican event. They'd never come out for Jeb Bush or John Kasich or Marco Rubio. These are working-class Democrats or working-class people who've never voted before.
Right.
Donald is expanding the tent, and nobody believed me. No one understood it. And I said he's got a chance to win the Michigans and the Pennsylvanias, and people thought I was crazy, you know? And,
right,
and
I remember.
Goodness,
right.
It worked out. Thank goodness
exactly.
it worked out.
Exactly, exactly. Well, as you and I talked previously, Wayne, I am so excited about this American potential that has been lying dormant. It's been handcuffed. The Barack Obama administration has done everything they can to hold America's exceptionalism back. And I believe what Donald Trump's going to do is open up the gates. People are going to dream big dreams again. What we're going to do in the energy sector, what's going to happen in industry and business throughout this country is going to be real exciting. And for these kids that are getting it all wrong, they're all messed up with their safe places and you know, they're so doggone confused. I'm telling them, look, get your hard helmets on, get ready. You better get at the starting line because you know as well as I do that you want to be at the starting line when the gun goes off because you're going to have a jump on so many people. And for those of you that are the starting line, the good news is you got a bunch of kids that are getting educated and indoctrinated, I should say, and they're going to miss the ship because the gun's getting ready to go off and opportunity is going to abound. And that's what I'm concerned about. You know, as for these young kids, is they're going to miss out, Wayne?
Yeah, you know, look, entrepreneurship is the only way to really have enjoy financial freedom, to enjoy wealth, to have what you want in life. And it's not about being rich necessarily, because my dad was poor. My dad started out as a minimum wage butcher. You know, I always call myself an SOB, a son of a butcher. My dad was a minimum wage butcher. He saved up enough money in his life to finally open his own butcher store. And on his deathbed, his store was never successful, by the way, Bill. Never.
Mm-hmm.
But on his deathbed, he literally, his last moments in life, he told me, always own your own business. It's the greatest thing I ever did. And I said, Dad, you never made any money. And he said, yeah, but nobody ever gave me an order ever again. I was my own boss.
Exactly.
And I got chills right now. My hair on my spine
yes.
my arms standing up.
I'm right with you. Wayne Allen Root has been with us. Congratulations, Wayne, on the book, Angry White Male. You got it right. One of the few that did. We're excited about the future of America, the rebirth of the middle class. What do you think?
Yeah, and what I meant in my father's story was entrepreneurship. That's what this is about. The next 8 years is like the next. It was like the 8 years of Reagan. There's a chance here to open your own business and change your life and be your own boss. And the regulations and taxes won't stop you from doing that anymore. So I think welcome to the new Trump-Reagan America. It's
Amen.
Morning in America again. God bless you.
You got it. Wayne Allen Root. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, Bill. God bless. Bye-bye.
This This report is brought to you by FICO. Holiday season is finally here. That means more time with loved ones, more delicious food on our plates, and even more spending at every corner. But did you know that under budgeting your holiday plans could put your credit score on the naughty list? Financial expert Manisha Thakur has a few tips on how to stay on top of your credit score and keep your holiday season festive without breaking your bank.
It's really important to know where your credit stands before you start making that gift list. Start by checking your FICO score online to lay the foundations for a realistic budget that you can stick to. And consider paying down credit balances as utilization counts for 30% of your score. New credit cards also affect your FICO score, so be sure to shy away from those tempting store accounts. Most importantly, keep an eye out for any suspicious activity causing mischief on your account. That way, your holiday giving can be generous and responsible.
For more holiday tips, visit www.ficoscore.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention heartburn drug users. If you or a loved one has taken Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, and suffered serious kidney damage, chronic kidney disease, or kidney failure, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Studies from the JAMA Internal Medicine indicate a significant increased risk of acute and chronic kidney disease from taking proton pump inhibitors. If you or a loved one was diagnosed with kidney failure or chronic kidney disease after taking Nexium, Prevacid, or Prilosec to treat heartburn, acid reflux, or indigestion, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk now. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Call 800-225-8944. That's 800-225-8944. Again, 800-225-8944. Call now.
Honey, what is that in your CPAP mask?
Oh, that's just my mold collection.
Ew, gross! And what is that?
What, that bacteria colony right there?
Yeah, cool, huh?
Okay, CPAP users, admit it. You're not always as careful about cleaning your system as you should be. Unfortunately, a dirty mask and hose can make you sick. Respiratory infections, allergy attacks, and more. But now there's an easy way to protect yourself. SoClean.com has released the world's first and only automated CPAP cleaner and sanitizer. It kills 99.9% of CPAP germs in minutes. For a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Just call 1-800-944-1065. SoClean is hands-free. Just pop in your mask, close the lid, and presto, your CPAP comes out clean and fresh in minutes. Don't let germs wreak havoc on your health. Call in the next 10 minutes for your risk-free trial. 1-800-944-1065. That's 1-800-944-1065.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live. Live.
I'll tell you, Thanksgiving 2016, we have so much to be thankful for, and I trust you're, hitting the pause button. A little bit like the amazing Kreskin had to say, about when Arthur Godfrey just going out there in the middle of the water in the lake, just hit the pause button, just think about it, about what we've got thankful for, so much. And some, I know, here in this country are thankful that maybe we saved this country, which was on the brink of one incredible disaster, but yet there's others that are thinking just the opposite. So where do we find reality? Where does it come together in such a way to where the United States can truly be the United States, and we come together on those things that that really matter? And here to help us wash and ferret out some of these options is Ted Hayes, a member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network's National Advisory Council, longtime LA area activist known for his work on issues such as civil rights, homelessness, and immigration. He has also run for public office on several occasions. So all that to say, he has skin in the game. He continues to put skin in the game. He is not afraid to put skin in the game. Ted Hayes, good to have you back with us on Bill Martinez Live. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Bill. It's nice to hear you again, and thanks for the opportunity to share with your listeners. And now that I've skin in the game, I've got bone, hair, tested.
I know, and that's what it's going to take. You know, we've been saying if we want to get this country back on track, all hands need to be on deck here. And this is just the beginning. We really haven't accomplished anything yet at this point, have we?
No, sir. This is the beginning. And, you know, both candidates were very risky. We all knew where Ms. Clinton was going to go. I think everybody knew that. And even people who voted for her knew that. They just were so turned off to Mr. Trump. At the same time, too, Mr. Trump is I see him as a wild stallion. And my effort is to track him and capture him and tame him and train him and make him be the president that we voted him to be. I think that too often we, the people, have voted our guys in. We hire them and then we turn our back. And then when he messed up, we blame them. But no one hires an employee and then don't supervise him. If they don't supervise him, the employee messes up. That's the employer's fault. So we
have
to do our job with Mr. Trump.
Well, I think Ronald Reagan said it brilliantly, trust and verify. And that's what we need to do. And
with Mr. Trump.
Yes, with Mr. Trump, with anybody for that matter. I mean, the reason that we are where we are right now is because we didn't, to your point. Exactly. I agree with you. And that's why we said early on, look, you want to blame everything on everybody else. But last time I checked, our founding fathers said it was we the people.
There you go.
Which says
this election was a referendum, as all elections are a referendum, not on the candidates. Mm-hmm. It's a referendum on we the people. We are the ones who give these people consent to govern us.
Right. And thank God, in a sense, that I believe that America is waking up, because it had to reach into its internal self to come to this decision. The easy thing would have been, okay, let's just go ahead. Let's maintain the status quo. It's uncomfortable. We'll just keep on going. Character, all this other stuff doesn't matter. We'll just keep rolling along. I think that would have been fatal. For us on many levels.
What you said is what, you know, my Jewish brothers say, Baruch Hashem, meaning thank God. Thank God this Thanksgiving, daily we have something to be thankful about. That we literally dodged a bomb.
Yes, exactly.
Well,
let's talk about, you're in Los Angeles. We've heard a lot coming out regarding sanctuary cities, of which L.A. is one of them.
Actually, L.A. is the capital of sanctuary cities. It was started here by Tom Bradley and the city council then, which was half the city council, almost half was black people. We started that here in Los Angeles.
Help us understand the issue of sanctuary cities, good, bad, and different. What do you say?
Well, originally when it started with the El Salvador and Nicaraguan crisis, when all, you remember that back in
yes,
the 80s?
Yes, absolutely.
All that
right.
was going on in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. I was
and
there.
They came up looking for refuge. They came across to L.A. And Mr. Bradley, looking at that, looking down the road, recognized here's something great that we can use. And they made a law, a local city law, stating that L.A. was a sanctuary city for people running from El Salvador, Nicaragua, and escaping their countries. And Ernie Bernardi, a city councilman here, he said that you guys are behaving like South Carolina behaved at this, when they initiated the Civil War in 1861. He said that the federal government, if necessary, will choke off all of our funding and we will be dead in the water. So what Tom Bradley and the council did was they removed the law sanctuary city, but maintain the policy of sanctuary city, where criminal elements who have invaded our country can come here and hide from the federal government, stating by hiding they know they are wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and LA's the capital of that.
Well, but in any kind of premise, Ted, you know, when you have a sanctuary city, or what has been known in the Old Testament as a city of refuge, you escape there, but there was still, you know, there was still justice that had to take place, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
So for us just to harbor people who are illegal on at many levels, like what happened in San Francisco. You've got somebody up there, and he gets a hold. I don't know how. I mean, to this day, it's still beyond me that somehow he is able to get a hold of a gun out of a police unit and kills that young girl, Kate Steinle. And of course, that has kind of become the poster child, so to speak, of this whole issue that we've got major problems here in River City. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree, and once again, it's these people are wily and they're clever. They say that they're hidden in the shadows. Well, they know, that means they know that they are wrong. Now, try doing a sanctuary city type of a excuse in Mexico. Try that in Mexico City.
No.
See what happened to you.
Well, they actually have that, and they're in the drug cartels around the border. But that's a whole other conversation. But yes, but outside
try
of
Iran,
that,
try Iran,
yes.
North Korea, Russia,
right.
Try it.
Yes, exactly. To your point, you know, it's not going to fly, but with rare exceptions. But here, this is something that, you know, that President-elect has targeted. And it sounds to me that the party's going to be over on this issue, and that, you know, these local sheriffs are trying to fight reality here.
You know, there's also what I recognize is I watch these college students, particularly the young people who are out there protesting Trump's election. What that is revealing, as I study it more, it's really reveals hidden underlying systemic racism against black lives. Mm. What I mean by that, and Hillary Clinton made this term very popular during her campaign. She kept talking about systemic racism. But when you look at systemic racism, where did it come from? When you look at the history of the Democratic Party, you'll see that the Democratic Party has 395 years total racism against blacks in this country, from chattel slavery to Jim Crow to the Ku Klux Klan to all those things. Now, what got Donald Trump in trouble was when he announced to the world that he was going to be the president that will end illegal immigration, build a wall to ensure to end that illegal immigration. And he also said that the 14th Amendment, the birthright citizenship, belongs to black people, the descendants of chattel slaves. And then he says during the campaign, I'm going to help black people. And then he says at the end, he says, illegal immigration hurts all Americans, but it hurts black people worse than anyone else. That freaked out the Democratic Party.
Mm, yes.
And if you notice, the people out there marching are mainly Anglo, English-speaking white people and Hispanic-speaking white people. Very few blacks. If you notice, even Black Lives Matter has kind of backed away from this, because I think what's going on is the Democratic Party is deathly afraid that Mr. Trump is going to awaken black people. Black people are going to realize illegal immigration is bad for us. And when we stand up as black people, the argument is over. From the 14th Amendment theft to illegal immigration, it will all be done, because black people will reclaim that which is ours. And that's what the Democratic Party is afraid of, and have lied to these children and made them think that it's the Republicans and Trump who are racist, when it's really the systemic racism comes from the Democratic Party.
Exactly. Well, well said, Ted. And this is, I believe, what is happening with more and more Americans. And even, I would say, even Hispanics are understanding, and they're seeing this for what it is, because history has been well documented, even though the Democrats have done, I got to admit, they've done a great job in rewriting history. But the truth is coming out. You can only hold the truth back for so long. It will find you out no matter what. Ted Hayes has been with us. Ted, as always, a pleasure and honor to have you with us, a member of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network's National Advisory Council, longtime L.A. area activist known for his work on issues such as civil rights, homelessness, and immigration.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America, working with home design and DIY experts Ben and Aaron Napier. During the holidays, make decorations to brighten up your home without burning through your seasonal budget.
Because we rarely see picturesque white winters here in Mississippi, we like to make DIY decorations that bring a warm holiday ambiance to our home. One of my favorites is to take the cards we receive from friends and family during the season and hang them using twine, clothespins, and twinkle lights.
It looks amazing, plus it warms our hearts to surround ourselves with photos and cards from our loved ones. For our holiday DIY buys, we love to use our Bank of America Card Cash Rewards credit card, because we can earn 1% cash back on every purchase. Even better, we can also earn 2% cash back on grocery store and wholesale club purchases, and 3% cash back on gas for the first $2,500 in combined grocery, wholesale club, and gas purchases each quarter.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/getcashback.
Marilyn brought her famous holiday ham with a side of wet coughing. Probably shouldn't eat it, but there goes your husband. Soon everyone's sniffling. It's the flu, but you're not going to get sick because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they suffer through their sore throats, coughing, and aches, you'll teach your granddaughter to make your famous snickerdoodles. Mmm, it's not too late. Shoot yourself with the flu and pneumonia shot at Rite Aid. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends both. It's free with most insurance and no appointments necessary. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam.
You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24-7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
It's always a great day here at Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, it's up to you, huh? What kind of day you want it to be? Why not make it a great day? 14 before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. I'm Bill Martinez, and here we are. So much to be grateful and thankful for, with Thanksgiving Day just around the corner. In fact, I thought it was quite interesting that today is officially Pumpkin Pie Day. I guess maybe there's so many pumpkin pies to distribute out there, Scott. You just got to get to work early. Or do we find out, like, everything that's Thanksgiving, it always seems to taste better the days after? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but all I know is if you have a pumpkin pie, it has to come with whipped cream.
Well yeah, of course. I mean, that almost goes without saying, but there is just something special about pumpkin pie. I mean, you know, cold pumpkin pie, and the it's kind of like part of the, you know, quarter break, cold turkey sandwich, you know, that goes along with it. And there's just something about, you know, a real turkey sandwich, not the pressed kind of turkey stuff that you get, you know, in the delis and that. In fact, 1 year we were able to find, kind of a bone-in a turkey that you could buy in Hawaii, of all places. I can't find anywhere else. I don't know why. Otherwise, other than you got to just get the whole turkey. But this is my favorite time because of the, post-holiday turkey sandwiches and pumpkin pie with plenty of whipped cream. Yes, sir. But it's a lot to be thankful for. And my blessing for you this Thanksgiving is that it would be a very special holiday and Thanksgiving that we could get families together. I mean, there's some cute commercials out right now about the family dynamics of Thanksgiving, and especially, can you imagine what it's going to be like
for all this contentiousness that we've gone through in this political season. But I think some households, I mean, it could be fun to hear some of the testimonials and what people experience, only because, and I say fun, I pray it not be that way and that contentious, and that we don't have a situation where pumpkin pie and stuffing are, you know, are flying around the room, that it truly is a thankful day. Well, America, with us right now is the executive director with Robert Half. He is the senior executive director, I might add, Paul McDonald. Paul, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. Let's talk about the happiest workers and what are the top drivers of workplace happiness. I mean, there has, you know, just like we're talking about what's going to be coming up on Thanksgiving Day, you know, some contention as we just get families together. But, you know, there's been, dare I say, some contention at the workplace because of this, you know, political environment that we've gotten into. But, you know, that aside, you know, let's talk about, you know, what makes workers happiest and, you know, what makes for a positive workplace for happiness.
Yes. We undertook at Robert Half a comprehensive study of about 12,000 people we surveyed around the U.S. and Canada, trying to find out exactly what you were saying and what are the drivers for happiness in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And to the best of our knowledge, this study that we did with an outside happiness expert called Nick Marks, he's out of the UK, and he studies this. I mean, to the best of our knowledge, we didn't have never seen something this extensive. So what are the drivers? You know, individuals in the workplace really want to have pride within their organization. That was, it screamed at us. When we looked at this, the number one driver is happiness of happiness overall is just feeling pride.
Mm-hmm.
Second, was feeling appreciated. You know, it occupies, you know, especially feeling appreciated in the workplace with, you know, from their colleagues, from their peers, and from their you know, supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
Fairness and respect came in third, not surprising. And then a sense of accomplishment. It's really interesting that feels that they not only pride, appreciated, respect, and fairness, but some of these are basic needs that everybody feels, you know, not only in the workplace, but at home.
Mm.
And then interesting and meaningful work. And then, as I said before, the relationships at work are very, very important because most of us spend the majority of our time at work.
Right.
If we are engaged outside of the home. So all these really kind of roll up and told us that, you know, depending upon the field that you're in, there's various categories. You can find a lot of these, you know, intricacies within the report from subsets of individuals. Like you can go in and find out if finance and accounting is feeling appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you kind of the answer, kind of a preview into that, would be finance and accounting and legal folks feel as though they may be underappreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what that comes down to is the sense of stress that they're feeling. They're always under the deadlines. Legal, you know, is like there's always a case or a matter that they're investigating. So it's like stress, stress, stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for a work place, for a supervisor, for an organization, maybe go give them a little pat on the back. Make them feel as though they're part of the team, that they're not just being taken for granted. But if you want a lot of these details, go to roberthalf.com and you can find the complete study on happiness, which is extremely thorough and investigative.
Well, one thing I noticed right off the bat is in terms of a standard, you got about 71% of the people saying, hey, you know, for the most part, I'm pretty happy at what I'm doing. I mean, the majority of people are saying, you know, generally, in most cases, you know, they're happy. So you've got that going for you. The other thing that you go ahead.
Well, I did. That was thanks for bringing that up because that was a real eye opener for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we read that, we expected the happiness quotient to be a little lower than 71%, and that was actually a real positive from the report.
Mm-hmm. And I think the good news is that for companies, particularly CEOs, because they're the ones that lead the drumbeat of the happiness, you know, music in a building, is that you've got a lot going for you right from the very beginning. It's not like you got to bring people from, you know, zero, you know, to 71. They're already at 71. So the indication is that they're inclined to be happy. So what can we do to augment and help that number? And I think in understanding here and looking at this survey, you begin to understand. I mean, one of the things that I've been beating the drum on, and I believe that this is kind of a condition that we're experiencing right now in our country. And number one is that is productivity. The human drive to feel like what you're doing is worthwhile. It's making a difference. And that's what's been missing, I believe, and under-displayed and under-actuated in our country today is people just aren't productive and they're cranky.
Well, when you look at what this report's telling us, you know, and it's like, yeah, they are cranky. Some people are cranky, but it's nice to see that 71% are happy.
Right.
This isn't rocket science for most CEOs and organizations because, you know, we cover professional sectors, right? Legal, accounting, finance, technology folks, creative folks, skilled administrative staff. So when we look at that, you know, and I've been doing this for 3 decades plus. I won't tell you exactly how many,
right.
33 years.
Right.
But when it comes down to a CEO, create vision in your communication. Make sure everyone understands in a town hall, in the written format, in a mission statement, that this is where we're going and this is what we stand for and this is the culture. And what it does is it imparts reinforces the culture that you're trying
exactly.
to build within an organization.
Exactly.
And in the sectors in which we serve, there's a lot of demand for talent right now. Unemployment rate, what is it, 4.9% on a U.S. basis? Mm-hmm. We're dealing with about 2.5% on average out of all the sectors in which we serve. And so this can impact the bottom line by creating a good culture, by creating solid communication, having it filter down through all areas of the organization so that people understand what they're part of. Especially now, making sure that the communication is there to make sure that they understand that they're part of an organization. Everybody should be respected, no matter what their beliefs, making them feel as though they're part of a team.
Exactly.
And then that team can carry forward with the mission of the organization.
Right. Well, the other thing I thought was interesting about this, though, we talk about 71 saying they're happy. You got about 33% say they're already looking for the exit door. And that's okay. I think that, you know, to be reclassified, as my old boss used to say, that's a good thing because then you realize it's not necessarily a good fit for you, that you could fit better somewhere else down the road. I say that you may find yourself being a round peg in a square hole. If that's the case, you know, why fight it? Go find some place where you can really be happy and fulfilled, right?
Well, I mean, people, 33% did say, as you noted, that they were unhappy and they're heading for the exits within the next 6 months. You can't keep everyone happy. And there's you know, for various reasons, they could feel as though they're overworked, underappreciated, that there's not an upward chart, a path for them. I guess what I always have said is, look at that 33% in your organization. That's one-third of your organization.
Yeah.
Are you communicating with them individually? I hear, you know, the annual review is out the window these days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing quarterly meetings with employees are almost, you know, they're mandatory.
Yeah.
Monthly check-ins just to see how they're doing.
Right.
You know, spend time with them and listen on, you know, what are their needs? Where do they want to go within an organization? But then be honest.
Yeah.
You know, and be honest. I've heard a lot of good employers, smaller companies, I might add, that may not have the next step for the employee, but they appreciate the fact that the employee appreciates the fact that they were being honest and actually helping them move forward.
Right.
And it was
exactly.
Not a bad parting.
Well, Paul, we're out of time here, so remind everybody where they can go to see the survey for themselves and get up to speed. What's going on?
Thank you, Bill. And it's go to roberthalf.com, look for the happiness survey that we did with Nick Marks, and you'll find everything you need to know about creating a happy work environment.
Senior Executive Director Paul McDonald from Robert Half on Bill Martinez.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? I'm Jim O'Connor, independent life insurance agent specializing in term life insurance. There's been a price war between the major life insurance companies. If you've had your term life policy more than 2 years, you may be paying too much. For example, a male, age 45, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $1 million of coverage is only $56 a month guaranteed level for 10 years. Or a male, age 50, non-tobacco user issue preferred best, $500,000 of coverage is only $91 a month guaranteed level for 20 years. The life insurance industry is going through exciting changes. Make sure you're not paying too much for your term insurance. For new or replacement term life insurance, call for a free quote. 800-799-0903. That's 800-799-0903. Don't pay too much for your term insurance. Call 800-799-0903 or visit my website at term22.com. That's term22.com. Rates based on standard underwriting and may vary by state.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson.